chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 2. And I tell y'all, this morning I think I'm going to have to preach undignified coming out of this jacket. If you found Mark chapter number 2, we'd invite you to stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Welcome all our visitors this morning and trust you've been made to feel welcome in the house of God. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? The Bible says, And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Jesus had been in Capernaum. It's where he started ministry, and that's where he began to focus and let people know who he was and how he was able to do things. And he began to heal, and he began to touch, and he began to make changes in people's lives. And people began to seek unto him, and they sought him out, and he cast out devils, and he healed broken bodies, and he done all the things that Jesus does. And his disciples said, the people are wanting more. The people are wanting more. And Jesus said, we need to go in other places that we might preach and we might teach and we might tell people the gospel message. And Jesus went, and wherever he went, he was doing the same thing. He was preaching the word, and he was touching bodies and touching lives, and he was making changes. And he's come back now unto Capernaum, back to the house, to a house. I don't know whose house it was, but he came to a house in Capernaum, and he dwelt there. After a few days, the word got out. Let me tell you something. When something happens like what is happening in these people's lives, when Jesus comes by, the word soon gets out. Amen. If the folks in our community could hear about what Jesus is doing in our lives, if the church would get as excited as these people were then about what Jesus was doing, it would get noised about, and people would flock to the house of God to see what was happening. But we as Christians are so silent. Amen. We're afraid sometimes because of society. We're afraid sometimes because of the stigma of being made fun of and being called a Christian. He is greater than what Jesus has done in our lives, I guess, so we say nothing. Where we're told in the workplace and in civil society that there is no place for God there. And we get so quiet that the world doesn't hear that Jesus is still working, that Jesus is still delivering, that Jesus is still making change, that Jesus is still helping people's lives to get over the things that are drawing them down. He's still giving victory over sin. He's still saving souls, amen, and he's still forgiving those who fall. And guess what? He don't forgive one time or two times, but he forgives us again and again and again when we come to him, and the world needs to hear about it. The world needs to know about it. It was noised about that he was in the house and people came. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be at Jairus' house when Jesus raised his dead daughter up and brought her back to life, and the word began to get out, amen, that Jesus is in the house and things are happening, that this girl who was dead is now living again. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be? I bet you couldn't have heard yourself think. Amen. Can you imagine what it would have been like here back in chapter 1 when Peter's mother-in-law was sick with the fever and Jesus healed her and she got up and began to minister and they began to praise God for his goodness. Can you imagine the noise that would have been noised about in that house when Jesus done this wonderful thing? Why are we so quiet in the house of God? Amen. When he's done such wonderful things, there are drug addicts that have been set free. There are drunks that have been set free. There are adulterers and adulteresses that have found forgiveness and have been set free. There are people who are hurting that have been healed. There are lives that were in a shambles that has been restored. There are sick that have found healing in Jesus. And praise God, we sit around and we stay so quiet and we act like it makes no difference. It needs to be noised about that Jesus is in the house. Amen. That Jesus comes by. That Jesus comes our way. And Jesus still does the things he does. And as he was there in the house, the Bible says in verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together. I tell you what, you want to fill the church up, you begin to tell them people, let the church start telling folks what Jesus is doing. Amen. That'll fill the church up. It's not about the programs. It's not about the pep groups. But praise God, it's about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And praise God, if we'll lift him up and tell what he's done in our lives, somebody somewhere will have what you had and are looking for the hope that you found. Amen. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Amen. You know, we got many that are coming today and they're coming into our churches and they're looking for a movement and they're looking for the Spirit and they're looking for God to do something in a mighty way, and they miss the very blessing that God has in store for them. They come to the house of God and they get aggravated when all we got to do is go listen to that old windbag preach again. We got to listen to that old windbag tell us the same things we've already heard and the same things we've already known. But praise God, Jesus knew what was important. And when he got that crowd in the house, he didn't start healing, he didn't start doing miracles, but he preached unto them the word. Amen. Why do you suppose he preached? Because I would imagine he knew the power in preaching. Amen. He knew the profit in preaching. He knew the possibilities that happened when he would preach the word of God and proclaim the truth in power. The apostle Paul said, I came not with excellency of speech and all these things and all these degrees and all these titles. He said, but I came and I preached in the power and the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Why do you suppose he preached? Maybe there in 1 Corinthians where it said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. He believed it. Amen. Why do you suppose he preached when he knew what a difference the message of the gospel would make in people's lives? You say, how did Jesus preach the gospel? Because it's the same message that's recorded in God's word from the fall of man man when God promised he would bring deliverance and he would bring a help. That's the good news. Amen. That's the good news. We each and every one of us deserve to be in hell. But God said he would send help of the seed of the woman. Amen. That's the good news. Man had fallen from his relationship with God, but God had made a way of restoration. Alan, go open that door. Amen. God had made a way of restoration. God had made a way of help. God had made a way of deliverance. The back air conditioner is working. If we open the door, it helps a little bit. That's amen. Everybody's used to me telling them to shut that door. I don't know. Is there anybody in the nursery? If there ain't nobody, we'll open. It helps. It helps. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. He didn't preach his own thoughts and his own theology. He preached the word. Amen. He preached the word. He preached what word? He preached God's word. He preached the word of truth, the word of deliverance, the word of hope, the word of help, the word that the world needs to hear back then, and the word that the world still needs to hear today. I don't care what any theologian says. I don't care what any scholar says. It's still the word of God that makes a change in people's lives. And Jesus said he preached the word. Amen. The psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there to according to thy word. Amen. Jesus preached the word unto them. We need to hear the word. We need to get in touch with the word. We don't need more of psychology. We don't need more of science. We don't need more of what the world has to offer us. Sister Sherry brought it out right in Sunday school this morning. We was talking about our focus. And in Colossians, was it 3:1, I think it is. It says, set your affections on things above. Amen. We need more of the word. Amen. Amen. If it was good enough for Jesus to preach, if it was good enough for Jesus to proclaim it, if it was good enough for those who were seeking after something from him to hear the word, I think it's still needful for us today. Amen. Amen. He preached the word. But then the Bible tells us there were some that wanted to get in. There were some that wanted to hear. There were some that wanted to be a part. And they couldn't get near the place. Amen. They couldn't get near that place. The Bible says, and they came unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. He preached the word. And because he was preaching the word, people had the faith to believe. Because he preached the word and could make changes in people's life, they had the faith to trust in him. Because he could preach the word and he told them of God's mercies. He told them of God's long suffering. He told them of God's deliverance time and time again. He told them of God's healing. He told them of God's helps. And then he demonstrated it in what he did. Praise God. They brought a faith in their life that caused them to take one. I want you to know something this morning, church. Your faith goes a long way in other people's lives. Amen. Look. That man that was sick of the palsy couldn't do a thing for himself. And his four friends brought him. His four friends had to think outside of the box. I was talking to Brother Ron yesterday. All dressed up and get up. You can call them crackpots. You can call them goofballs. You can call them nerds. You can call them Star Wars fans. You can call them cool. You can call them just the neatest thing. You can call them whatever you want to. But there's a man that thinks outside of the box. Amen. You can make fun of it, or you can embrace it. People had a good time with it yesterday. Amen. I think you got invited back. Got a personal invitation to come back to Sunfest next year, didn't you? I seen that on Facebook. Amen. Because the kids like him. But he says, if it gives me the opportunity to put a gospel track in a kid's hand. Amen. That's thinking outside of the box. Hot. And so, I know you was hot yesterday. Hey man, I was hot and I wasn't even in all that get up. Hey man, I could just imagine me in there. The water would just be running, be a puddle standing around the bottom of the floor where I was standing. And there they were, and they were reaching out to kids. They were trying to help kids. But he does it because it gives him an opportunity to put a gospel track in someone's hand. Praise God, I'm glad for people that got enough faith to think outside of the box. Hey man, I can look outside of what everybody else sees. And sees a possibility to give someone close to Jesus. And I tell you what, that's why we do Bible school. That's why we go through all the problems. And my lands, look at what a wonderful barn we got built. You fellas need to come up to my house. I need some barn work done. Amen. We need to get a barn going on. I got some fences that need some taking care of. And praise God, I can use you right out there. But we want to think outside of the box and try to reach out to others. We have all kinds of things that we do in each one of them, each ministry that we have here, that pantry across the road to help people has given us the opportunity to present Christ to I don't know how many hundred of people. And you say, well, where are they at? We don't see them. We have seen fruit from that labor. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. Jesus seen their faith. He didn't see the palsy man's faith. But the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Amen. Church, we got a huge responsibility. We got a huge opportunity. Amen. We got a huge benefit. If we'll just exercise our faith and let God look upon it and let God honor it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For He is, what's it say here? Let me find, I'll read it for you exactly as it is. He says, it's impossible to please Him, for he to cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. James tells us that our faith is evidenced by the works that we do. Abraham, as he uses as the example, wasn't justified by the work that he did when he took Isaac up Mount Moriah to offer him for a sacrifice. He was justified by his faith, and his faith was made evident in his ability to trust God enough that he was willing to sacrifice his son. It's good to have faith. James said, even the devils believe God and tremble. It's good to have faith. That's all right. But having faith and not acting on that faith is a travesty and a tragedy in your life. Having faith and not trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the greatest mistake you'll ever make. We was talking in the adult Sunday school class this morning about when God cast the devils into hell. And the phrase that is used there is translated from a Greek word. That means that they were cast into the lowest and the deepest and the most painful part of hell that you could imagine. I heard a preacher one time, or read a preacher one time, that said, I would rather go to hell from anywhere than from a church pew. You stop and think about that for a minute. There are people every day that have sat in churches their whole lives and have rejected the Word of God, have rejected the hope of God, have rejected the salvation of God, and will die and split hell wide open. And you know what I believe is going to be their greatest torment in suffering in hell? Is to know the many, many times that they had the opportunity to hear the Word of God. The many, many times that they had heard the invitation given to surrender their hearts and lives unto God and had rejected it. And now, in the depths of hell, in the depths of all that pain and suffering, their memory and their mind can actively go back to each and every opportunity that they rejected. Friends, your faith without works is dead. Christian, your good intentions and your good ideas and your good thoughts and your good will, if they're not put into action, they're dead. Man, you might sing like a bird in the shower at home, but you won't sing in the house of God. You can sing "How Great Thou Art, Brother Charles," when there's nobody around. But unless you sing it to His praise and His glory and to worship Him, what good is that talent? Faith without works is dead. You can be the greatest preacher that ever was and never preach. Amen. Faith without works is dead. You can believe all these kids are going to come to Bible school. Man, now, we've had times when we've had more than we could deal with. We've had times where we've had to limit our advertising. We've limited. We found out that we can handle a certain. People say, "Well, that ain't right. You should take it all." I'd rather be able to teach than to herd. Amen. There's a big difference between just herding kids because you can't teach them. You don't have the facility and the capacity to teach them. And we wound up with that for a few years. And we're just herding kids and herding kids and herding kids. But now it's another thing just to quit trying to get somebody to come to Bible school too. Faith without works is dead. We want to see souls saved this week. It's going to take some faith that God's going to do something. We want to see God make a difference in some young person's life this week. We need to have the faith that God is going to do something. We want to have the faith that God is going to take these young people who have graduated and as they go on through the rest of their lives and do something and use these young people for His glory and His honor. We got to have faith that they're going to do it. We got to pray for them and seek God's face for them and ask God to use them and ask God to bless them and ask God to move in their lives in a mighty way. It's a responsibility that we have. They have their own responsibility. But praise God, if I don't have the faith to believe that God can do something in their life, then my faith without works is dead. Amen. Amen. I preach, and I preach, and I preach, because I believe that God does something. And you know, I've told you before, the times when I preach and I think, wow, I know that had to be hard to listen to. That wasn't nothing. People call me on the phone. I needed that message, Pastor. I needed that message. Why do I preach? Because I know that I can have the Word hid in my heart. And I can keep it in my heart and try to hide it like Jeremiah said he was going to do. But I can't do it. Faith without works is dead. Jesus looked and He saw their faith. He saw their faith. You know how He saw their faith? Because it was in action. You know how He recognized their faith? Because it was doing something. You know how He was aware of their faith? Because they had done ripped a hole through somebody's roof and now they were letting a man down through this hole and all this junk was falling everywhere. It was probably a dirty man. Can you imagine what it would be to get up here and rip a hole through the roof? It would be a nasty mess. And now here comes this a fella down through the hole and I bet Jesus looked up and He could see four smiling faces looking down. We've made it. We've accomplished it. We've done done it. We've got him there. And Jesus saw their faith. And praise God, when he saw their faith, he was moved. And when he saw their faith, he done something for that young man that nobody else could do. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. I tell you what, God wants to see some faith in action. Amen. He wants to see some faith doing something. He wants to see some faith excited. Down at the National Gallery of Art, they got a picture of this. Mark chapter 2. They've got a painting. They say it's a huge painting. And they say that it shows the paralytic man trying out his new legs and his new arms and his body half hunched over, but he's got his bed and his mattress thrown on his back. He's got a smile on his face and he's leaving the house. But it says it shows the four fellas up on the roof are repairing the damage that they had created. And they're smiling. And they're smiling. You know, sometimes... Now, I told her she's crazy. I'm pointing at you. I ain't pointing at your mama this time. I told her she was crazy. She had a graduation party yesterday. And has to get the church decorated for Bible school before tomorrow. And that normally takes her, you know, from the middle of this past week all the way up every night working, doing something, and most of the night on Saturday. And I told her she was crazy. And she said, "Well, it sounded good. It sounded doable when I was doing it. A graduation party and decorating the church. And it's hard. It's hard. Teachers have been preparing. Calvin is trying to get all his other work done. And in the midst of all this, him and you and Brent built a barn, didn't you? Amen. They built a barn and brought it down and installed it. It's hard. Amen. It's hard. Last week, or week before last, Brother Adam and some of the others took the young people. Some of the young people, Brother L and a bunch of them, Sister Mary, took young people out visiting. It's hard. It's hard. But sometimes we just got to go right on through it and just smile the whole way. And the little messes that get made along the way. Amen. You ain't got scrambled eggs if you don't break a few eggs. Amen. Amen. And sometimes things don't happen unless things take place that we weren't expecting. But Jesus, he preached the word. He saw their faith. And he changed lives. Now we know he only healed this paralytic in the passage that we've read. He's only healed this paralytic man. But how many people's lives do you think got changed when they seen God react to the faith? Amen. These men who brought this paralytic. We know that this paralytic's life was changed. Amen. And we know that Jesus done something for him that nobody else had ever been able to do. And it says, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." He changed a life. And he not only changed that life, but he changed the life of those men who brought him and let him down through the roof. He changed the life of those people who had seen what God had seen. Let me tell you something. The old saying, "What's been seen can't be unseen." Amen. Really held true that day. Praise God. They said, "We've never seen it on this wise before." Let me tell you, I can imagine them telling their grandchildren and perhaps their great-grandchildren, "Let me tell you about the day I was in the house when Jesus showed up. Let me tell you about the day when Jesus saw some faith in action and Jesus made a change in somebody's life. Let me tell you what it did for me. It didn't encouraged me. It strengthened my faith. It gave me the ability to face every obstacle that was before me, because I knew that greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And He was able then. He's able today. And praise God, He wants to do something now. Amen. You need something in your life? He can do it. He can do it. You want Jesus to do something? Exercise your faith. Amen. You want Jesus to be a blessing? Trust Him. Trust Him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You can trust Him, can't you, Sister Connie? Amen. You can trust Him, can't you, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. As Tammy went through a stroke this week, you can trust Him, can't you, Tammy? Amen. Let me tell you can trust Him this morning.
Amen.
You can trust Him this morning. Because He does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And He wants to change somebody else's life. When John's disciples came and they asked Jesus, said, let us ask you something. Are you the one that's to come, or should we look for another? In Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, in that same hour, He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, He gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, so the poor to the poor the gospel is preached. Broken people, broken lives, broken bodies, broken hearts, broken relationships, it don't matter. Praise God, He's able and He's willing and He wants to. But the greatest change that He wants to make in any life is to take a sinner and birth them into the family of God. He wants to take a sinner that's never trusted Him as their Savior, who's willing to exercise the faith from hearing the word preached, from hearing the gospel message, Jesus saves. Hearing the gospel message that God saves old sinners. Hearing that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Willing to exercise their faith and trust Him. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise God, I'm glad today that He can make a change in you. Christian, I'm glad today that He still more than you'll ever need. And He's still sufficient for whatever your need might be. If you just trust Him.
Right, amen.
If you believe Him. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.